You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Alongside my man Sterling Bennett, this is Dan Avone as we welcome you in to Warriors This Week.
Hey, turn your mic on, man. You're good now.
Oh, no, my mic's on.
You're good now.
I'm ready to go, man. I was out of bed at 6 o'clock,
wow.
Swam in the bay.
Nice.
Just itching to talk about them Golden State Warriors with my man Sterling Bennett. Sterling, what's on your mind? What's going on, buddy?
Man, it's been a long week for the Warriors, it feels like. You get boat raced by Boston, in Boston, in Madison Square Garden. And then you come back to the Bay and you
not Madison Square.
Sorry. TD Garden, excuse me. And then you come out and you beat the number 2 seeded Bucks in the Eastern Conference, and we're all riding high. This is great. It's awesome. Then you play my Chicago Bulls, and they take it to you in that second half, and you're like, what is going on? Curry gets hurt. Draymond Green fouls out. But all of a sudden, here we are, sitting in the unknown of what's going to happen now with no Stephen Curry on the court for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, let's tell you. A look back at the week that was. You get smoked, and I mean embarrassed, in front of the world. Nationally televised game, ABC, and the cameras are there, and you get blown out. The thing was done midway in the second quarter.
Yeah.
You bounce back against Milwaukee and blow them out by 35.
Yeah.
And think up to this point, because keep in mind, you lost to Boston. It was the end of a 4-game road trip in which you won 3 of 4. The
game didn't matter that much.
And so there's a feel-good, and then all of a sudden, the inexplicable happens, where you lose to apparently your Chicago Bulls, which you're going to have to explain why you're claiming the Chicago Bulls. But let's start here. I think, obviously, the loss hurts. But more importantly, when you talk about the Warriors going forward, the injury to Steph Curry has a lot of people up at night. You want to update people where Steph is at as far as the Warriors going forward?
I can. So Stephen Curry obviously suffered an ankle injury. He got the MRI. It came back clean, according to Steve Kerr and Shams Charania. And they said he shouldn't miss more than 1 to 4 games. Obviously, it will be day-to-day. But it seems like at least for today against San Antonio and Monday against San Antonio, Stephen Curry will not play for the Golden State Warriors.
Which is okay. I mean, if you're going to miss 2 games,
it's these
have it
two.
Be against the worst team in the NBA. You'd like to have him back in uniform when you're at Dallas taking on Luka and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are one of those teams that you're chasing. They certainly sit in the 8th seed at 35-28. Nobody gave the Warriors any help last night. In fact, over the last couple of days, both the Kings, Mavericks, and the Lakers, all winners. So currently, things stack up like this in the Western Conference. You got the Warriors sitting at 33-29, 4 games over the 500 mark, but at the 10th seed all by themselves. The Lakers now a half game in front of them. Then sit the Mavericks a game and a half in front of the Golden State Warriors. Those two teams, Sterling, will play each other 3 more times this year beginning on Wednesday. The Kings still very much within striking distance at 7.5 games. So you're 3 games back of the Kings, who also now have won 2 in a row. And then come the Phoenix Suns, because you're eyeing that 6th seed, so
yep.
You can avoid all this mess. So you don't have to play in this
playing
crap. Get to the 6th seed. If you want that, then you got to walk down the Phoenix Suns, who currently are 3.5 games in front of the Warriors. But before you do any of that, before you scoreboard watch and keep an eye on the other teams, you got to eat, as I like to say, what's on your plate.
Okay.
And what was on your plate were the Chicago Bulls.
My Chicago Bulls.
First of all, let's back up. My man, why? First of all, I understand the Oklahoma connection.
Oh, yeah.
I consider you a Bay Arean right now, but right. What's with Chicago?
So my teams are the Niners, the Giants of San Francisco, and the Chicago Bulls. I'm a 90s kid, so I watched Jordan. I watched Space Jam. I fell in love with those teams of the late 90s, the Last Dance teams, you might say. And since then, I've been infatuated with Chicago and the Bulls. Kirk Heinrich, Ben Gordon, Eddie Curry, and his bust of a self in Chicago. Those early 2000s Bulls teams were my Bulls teams. So when I watched Chicago come here, I got R.C. Davis of the Golden State Warriors saying, hey, your Bulls are in town. We'll give you some tickets. I haven't gotten to go see him play, but when I watched the Golden State Warriors lose to, again, my Chicago Bulls, although it stinks for Warriors fans, the Bulls are actually playing pretty well.
That's true.
No Zach LaVine there. The offense kind of found themselves. Kobe White's playing great basketball, kind of found himself and who he wants to be in the NBA. But for the Golden State Warriors, when you watch the Suns win, the Lakers win, the Mavericks win, you lost Stephen Curry, sure, but losing that game late against Chicago is the ultimate crusher defeat for your team. You can't lose to Chicago on your home court when you have a lead late in the game. I get there's no Steph, Draymond Green fouls out, but they are a below or near 500 team. You can't lose to them. You have to take it to them at Chase Center, and they didn't get it done.
It's a below 500 team, and you're right. Everything is magnified from here on out. You got 19 games left in the season. Some are doing the math that you have to go 16-3, 17-2. Whatever it is, if you want to get to that sixth seed, you can ill afford to lose to Chicago, which is so difficult to sort of understand the Golden State Warriors right now. Because just as quickly as you're ready, or at least I'm ready to anoint them as a team that could get to the Western Conference Finals, and yes, I said that. This is a team that can get to the Western Conference Finals when you see what it is that they did against the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, you could say, okay, well, it's back-to-back, all right? And it's back-to-back games where you got Milwaukee and Chicago on the back end, but it's Chicago, all right? And you could also say, well, it's an older team. So, you know, there's...
And they're also on the back-to-back as well. On the road,
Chicago, back-to-back on the road. The Warriors are at home, so I can't buy it. Reach down. I don't care how you do it. It can be ugly, but you have to beat the Chicago Bulls. And the fact that you didn't, and we can pull back the layers and get into why didn't you double team DeRozan late in the game? You were doing it throughout the majority of the contest, and all of a sudden, yeah, you stopped double teaming him. They shot the hell out of the ball, you know. Vucevic, and you're right, Kobe White may be one of those guys that a lot of people aren't aware of, but this guy can ball. Vucevic is, I love that when Warrior fans, when Vucevic, you know, apparently was available and Warrior fans were like, yeah, get a big, you need a big, what about Vucevic out in Chicago? Just go get him. Why the hell would Chicago give up on what is, you know, arguably one of the best bigs? Again, not somebody that you hear a lot about, but that's not somebody that's just, yeah, you're going to have him for, you know, a 12-pack and a
second-round pick. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and like, this is a, you know, just getting back to the Chicago Bulls and the Golden State Warrior game. Let's just start there. It's a game that you know you can't lose because, you know, you factor in maybe you're going to lose to Dallas. You got Minnesota. You know, you got some dates with the Lakers. Maybe you can say, okay, we'll lose to one of those. But that's taking into account you're handling San Antonio. You're taking care of Chicago. You're beating Memphis. So there's no room to lose to a Chicago, which means now you're going to have to steal one from Dallas. You're going to have to beat somebody like Minnesota at Minnesota.
It makes your road 10 times tougher.
How do you put your arms around and or explain what happened the other night?
Every time it felt like the Golden State Warriors had a lead, the third quarter always seems to come back to bite them. It was 77-72. Warriors leading by 5 with just under 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Plenty of time for the Bulls to come back and whatnot, but the Bulls went on a 27-12 run and ended that third quarter going into the fourth, leading 99-89. It's the non-Stephen Curry minutes. And Stephen Curry, for as great as he is, has not been Steph Curry the past, what, 5 or 6 games. Like, he has been shooting at a lower rate than he usually does in his career. But that third quarter crushed Golden State. You're leading by 5, great. If you can just salvage it And you go into the fourth quarter down by 10, then Curry gets hurt, then Draymond Green fouls out, and you have to rely on Trayce Jackson-Davis and Moses Moody and guys who maybe, although have played a lot better and are going to have to play pivotal roles for you, when you stack them up against a veteran team like DeMar DeRozan and Vucevic, Andre Drummond, it's going to be tough for young players to step up in those moments against teams that just know how to play and have been there before. So for the Warriors, you got a bunch of young bucks out there that just maybe are playing with, I don't want to say deer in the headlights, but just got overwhelmed by a veteran team, in my opinion.
Yeah, see, I see it a little differently because in that fourth quarter, it was the kids that brought them back into that game.
Agreed, agreed.
And it was all energy. It was Moses Moody, steals, getting rebounds, just pure energy that brought them back into that contest. And as much as we try and explain it, just win the damn game. Like, that is not one of those games that you can lose to Chicago. Really quick, the text line, the 650. Maybe we pump the brakes on the Bucks win. They just lost to LeBron-less Lakers team that last night. Yeah, good point. As the Milwaukee Bucks lose to the Los Angeles Lakers without LeBron James, which would have been a perfect opportunity for the Warriors, obviously, to pick up some ground, but it did not happen. Milwaukee, of course, a lot of people feel is the one team that maybe could challenge because they got Giannis and the Denver Nuggets, but I digress. Just staying with the Golden State Warriors and just getting back to Steph for a second. Because you're going to be without Steph potentially for the foreseeable future. Thankfully, there's no structural damage, as they like to say, and that he could be gone for maybe a week. I've said this in doing shows here right from the outset, that Steph Curry and the injuries are pretty much imminent. You can set your watch to it. At this stage in his career, in his mid-30s, every single year, he's going to go down with an injury. Now, obviously, you hope it's not of the severe nature, that there's no torn tendons, there's no ACLs, but whether it's, and I struggle with this every week, hold on, drum roll please, whether it's the shoulder, subluxation, got it!
Nice.
Which Ja Morant is dealing with, and of course he had that shoulder injury a couple of years back. Whatever the injury is, he's usually gone for a couple of weeks, but typically, Sterling, it happens early on in the season or at the midpoint. The danger here is, as we've just talked about, you cannot afford to lose any more games from here on out, especially teams you're supposed to beat. Without Steph, they're 0-3 on the season. So even though it's San Antonio, you
without
need
Steph Wemby,
Curry.
Mind you.
Wemby, well, is he questionable or is he definitely
not playing
going?
Today?
Not playing, but there's a chance he could go Monday. It's a home and home.
Correct.
So they got him tonight.
Correct.
They got San Antonio tonight and a home and home. They'll see San Antonio on Monday. There's a potential that Wemby, who, by the way, is just
he's special.
Real
man.
Like, everything we heard about the guy, I know he's playing in San Antonio and you don't hear a lot about him, but that dude is delivering and then some.
Is he the greatest NBA prospect probably since LeBron, right?
I'd say he's exceeding LeBron.
Like, there was Zion, but I feel like the instant impact he's had on that team, they haven't won a lot, but that's a guy you build around and say, hey, next year, go get me a star next to him, and they're going to be a playoff team.
Which is a good point, because if you're San Antonio, you can't say we're in this rebuild. Like, give us 2 to 3 to 4 years. No. This
now,
dude is,
now.
Yeah. Go get him in this offseason and start making your run next year. And you'll see the San Antonio Spurs once again right here. You won't see him here on 95.7 The Game. But of course, you can catch all the action as the Warriors take on the Spurs tonight. And then, as I mentioned, you got a travel date, and then you'll see him again on Monday. No Wembanyama to go today. But Stephen Curry, just getting back to it, it almost works as though it's sort of this inadvertent load management, where it sort of benefited the Golden State Warriors. Not now, but in the past, where he's been out a couple of weeks. You don't want that to happen. But then, towards the end of the season, you know, he's got his fresh legs because he sat out a good portion of the campaign. And that has sort of helped and benefited the Golden State Warriors. So this, in a weird way, because I think he was sort of, to your point, was hitting a wall, and it just looked as though the load on this guy and the expectations, the Warriors go as far as he'll take them offensively. It's a one-trick pony. With oftentimes, it's all got to be about Steph. That him going down again, you don't want to lose Steph. You don't want anybody getting injured. But him having to take a week to 10 days off is not the worst thing in the world that can happen to Golden State Warrior fans. However, the timing, Sterling, is the big concern here.
The timing depends on how many games he misses, though. If he misses 2 games against the Spurs, who, 13-50, you should be able to take care of business with Pajemski or Chris Paul or even Gary Payton II playing in Curry's place. But to your point again about Curry not hitting a wall, but maybe having tired legs, right? In his last 10 games, only 20 points per game, under 33% from three. He missed a handful of free throws, only 86%. He was not Stephen Curry, the MVP that we have come to know and love in his past 10 games. But let's say he takes a week off and they beat San Antonio twice. You make up that Bulls game essentially, right? And let's say he's healthy by maybe Wednesday or maybe even next Saturday for the Lakers. You have the Lakers two more times this year. You have Dallas three more times this year with the game and a half separating you from both those teams. You can, in a way, overtake or at least inch your way back up those standings relatively soon, whereas if Curry misses two games, it's not the end of the world. So you don't have him against the San Antonio Spurs without Wembanyama. You're not going to have a big on your team, even if he's healthy, that can stop him anyways. But you're going to have guys like Chris Paul, Pajamski, Moody, Kuminga take that next step up of being, hey, take Kuminga. You're the number one guy now, buddy. Mm. You have to go be the number one scorer. What does that pressure look like for him? I think Kuminga has been, and you have loved JK from the day he got in the Bay. From the night show a couple years ago, you have been on Kuminga's you-know-what, saying this guy is going to be a star. And right now we're seeing that come to fruition. That, hey, Kuminga looks like a star budding in front of our eyes. Now with no Steph, how does Draymond respond? How does Kuminga respond? How do the young guys that we've mentioned that have been great in spots and then have been underperformed in spots? How does Pajemski play without Steph? Who facilitates? Who then becomes the number one scorer? For me, Jonathan Kuminga is the most important player for this offense now. He has to be your number one option. He's been the two for, what, a month and a half now? Now go be my one. Continue that ascension up into the star ranks of the NBA.
If you want proof on Steph Curry and load management and when a guy gets into his mid-30s, soon to be 36 years of age, you don't have to look any further than what has transpired this past week. Now keep in mind the Boston game where he was bad. But that was the end of a five-game road trip, right, in which they went back-to-back going to New York and Toronto, which is always grueling, but then you tack on the fact that they had plane issues and didn't roll into Canada, and you got to go through customs, you get like an hour of sleep, and then you wrap things up in Boston. He had no legs. No. He was not effective from three-point territory.
Rightfully so.
But then his next game out, and it's not coincidental where he has three days off, which is somewhat unusual in the NBA this time of the year. But look at his legs against Milwaukee. Look at the way he played. You could clearly see that it was a different basketball player. That was the Steph turning back the clock. And you could just see that there was there was added energy. There was a hop in his step. And you could, that's from rest. And that's what happens when you're in mid-30s. And then you go back to back in the next game against Chicago. And it wasn't the Steph the night before that was, that was on the floor against the Chicago Bulls. It was a completely different version of Steph Curry. That's why getting back to, again, never want to miss Steph, but if you think about this in sort of a weird way, it's the best thing that could happen to the Golden State Warriors if he gets 10 days off and you're playing San Antonio. Now, you're going to have to steal some games against Dallas and or the Los Angeles Lakers. Anything more than a week becomes really problematic. But I think that this can benefit the Golden State Warriors as it has the last couple of years when they made playoff runs. Remember when they finished that year 15-5?
Oh, yeah.
He was out for a good portion of that season. And towards the end, when he could see the finish line, Steph could put it into another gear. He's on pace this year. I read this last night. He's on pace this year to play, I believe, 79 games.
Wow.
He hasn't played 70 games, more than 70 games, I want to say, since the 2016 season.
Jeez.
So this was inevitable almost to a certain degree that he was going to blow a tire. Getting back to the Golden State Warriors, and now what do you do now going forward? And thinking about tonight and again on Monday against San Antonio. While I agree with you, Jonathan Kuminga has taken strides, and he has to score the basketball and be that guy to a certain degree because I think it's going to be distributed throughout. What about Klay Thompson? And I say that because Klay will look to get his points, but what I'm afraid of is that Klay is like, okay.
Now it's my time.
Right? Daddy's out of the room. You need someone to score. And does he become that guy hunting shots again? That's the one thing I think you want to protect against.
Well, that's why you keep him on the bench. It's almost like a don't get out of your lane. We all love Klay Thompson here. Everyone in the NBA wants Klay Thompson to succeed. His bench role, which he has kindly accepted and has looked really good in, actually, I don't think Kerr even messes with Klay. He's comfortable now as that bench player, as that bench scorer for them, that, hey, you can give us 20 off the bench any given night, 20 plus off the bench any given night. He is not going back into the starting lineup, and he's not becoming mentally my number one scorer again. Klay's a whole mental game with him. If he starts to believe I can start making shots and he'll start jacking up, you know, 15, 20 threes if he has to, he's just that kind of player. And if he believes in himself and it's actually working and he's making them, by all means, go ahead. But we've seen, especially last season, he will shoot you out of games. And the last thing you want without Steph Curry, without that guaranteed 20-plus points a night from Curry, you cannot have Klay saying, okay, I will lead you to the promised land. No, Klay. Be bench Klay. You can give us 15, 20 a night off the bench. Let Kuminga, let Draymond, let Chris Paul facilitate for the other guys, for you. Just play your role and everything's going to be okay. They played 11 guys against Chicago. Like that is going to carry over, especially without Stephen Curry. I do want to go back to Steph, though, because this is almost, let's say he misses from today until next Friday, and he plays Saturday against Los Angeles. It's almost like another All-Star break for him, right? And when you go back, they lost or they beat the Jazz by 3 points the day before the All-Star break. They then play the Lakers, their first game out of the All-Star break, almost a week off, right? 7 days, basically. What did Steph do? 32 points, 8 rebounds, Golden State wins by 18. That's what you're hoping. He takes 3 games off, all of a sudden, boom, you get Stephen Curry back fresh, you get your offensive punch back, and you get 32 points, 8 rebounds, and 18-point win against the Lakers next Saturday.
It's a real thing. It is a real thing. There is a cause and effect with Steph Curry and any player, for that matter. LeBron James is the same way. That when you're your central player on your basketball team that is you're most reliant on to score the ball and to facilitate and to do all these things is in his mid-30s, rest is a key. Which is why, and LeBron is so good at this because he load manages throughout a game. If you ever watch him, he'll take plays off.
Yeah,
no doubt. But which is why it's so key, Sterling, for this team to get the sixth seed. Now everybody wants, you know, including Sacramento, including Dallas, including the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, and you can throw the Pelicans into that mix. Nobody wants to be in that 7-8, 9-10 matchup, right? But I would say more so the Golden State Warriors have added incentive than anyone else. The reason being is what it is we just laid out. If you get that sixth seed, you get a week off.
Yep.
You get a whole week off. And for the Golden State Warriors and for a team that is in their mid-30s, a week off is the difference between making a serious run and a team much like last year, which had to go 7 games against Sacramento when it was all Steph and then just had nothing left in the tank against the Los Angeles Lakers. You could be looking at a similar scenario this year that for an aging team, getting rest, especially for one Steph Curry, is absolutely key. But I would throw Klay Thompson into that mix. I would throw Draymond Green as well as play. And Draymond Green, they have really tampered down his minutes. I think he's playing like 25, 26 minutes a game. And that's what happens when a guy gets into there. You know, again, when you're on the wrong side of 30, you have to keep an eye on these things. The Golden State Warriors, and we'll get into this throughout the majority of the show, now become, as I just laid out, this old team that much more reliant on the youth, which I think is now the identity of this basketball team. You're always going to have the foundational three, right? But it's no longer about Steph, Draymond, and Klay. This is about the young players on this basketball team. That is the X factor. That is what's going to decide just how far you are going to go. And especially now, with the absence of Steph, I would say it's not so much Kuminga, but it's going to be about all these kids getting into passing lanes, taking charges, ripping rebounds, and running and filling lanes. Like, that energy has got to be palpable over the next week without one Stephen Curry.
And I find it funny, too, because, you know, the Warriors know, the Warriors fans know, the whole two timelines thing. It was all preached of Wiseman and Poole and others. They were going to be the next stage of Golden State Warriors basketball. Well, now they've moved off of, you can say, these projects or guys that are going to take a handful of years. And now you have young players, rookies, Trayce Jackson-Davis, that can block Giannis three times in a game. That are
four.
We had four blocks, but block Giannis three times. Unafraid to be.
No, you had Giannis four times.
I think it was only three.
All right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Ken, my man.
Help us out, Ken. But you have young players like Pajemski that can take charges, unafraid to get their hands dirty. Trayce Jackson-Davis, unafraid to crash the board. You have guys that are like just willing to do everything it takes to win. Take Trayce Jackson-Davis. At Indiana, he's their all-time blocks leader.
Yeah.
Like, he is a stud where you point to him and say, yeah, he isn't the biggest guy. He ain't the strongest guy, but he's fearless. Pajemski, fearless. All year long, from the moment those guys stepped on the court, you can tell they knew what it took to be a Warrior, to play in this system. And now that's going to be called upon more than ever without Steph. And honestly, I think these guys, if it is only a week, you have two games against the Spurs and the Mavericks, I think they can sweep all those games. I think they played that well, and confidence is key for your young players. I think they're all playing well, from Kuminga to Moody to Pods and TJD. These guys look like they belong in the NBA. Two of them are rookies. These guys look like, and I think, believe that they can go into Dallas. If they have to go into Los Angeles and beat a team like the Lakers. I think if you have that confidence behind you as a player, the fearlessness they have to body up somebody bigger than them, it takes you a long way in the NBA. Look at Pat Beverly. He ain't the biggest guy, but he's feisty. Pajemski reminds me of Pat Bev. He's feisty. He wants to get into your body and knock you down, run through you, but also he'll pass it out. Boom. Moody 3. Boom. Clay 3. These guys know how to play in this system where if Steph isn't going to play for a week, I believe these guys can win three of these four games ahead of them.
So Ken is just Mr. New York, Mr. Met. Ken, our star producer, has just blown into my ear that it was indeed four blocks. So three against Giannis.
Yes, but four total.
And then one against
somebody
else.
Thank you,
Ken. Ken, the next time you give information that doesn't jive what I'm saying, I'm gonna ignore you, brother.
Always tell me I'm wrong, Ken. Dan's always right.
You guys got it.
Here's the thing.
Whatever you want to do.
By the way, speaking of block shots, just want to go to the break with this. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards, I'm just saying YouTube this. Last night, was it two nights ago?
It was a couple nights ago, yeah.
The block he had, which essentially saved the game. Just look at it. Like, it's that awesome. Dude is...
It's awesome.
He's real deal.
And on ESPN, they're saying it was... Or it was Skip Bayless saying it wasn't that big of a deal. And I get Skip's got a shtick, but like, Skip... like, that was incredible what we just watched from Anthony Edwards.
Don't make me bring back the MPF list this early.
Most punchable face.
But Skip Bayless.
We haven't heard it in a long time.
Yeah, you'll go right to the top of most punchable faces if you want to hold on to that take. All right, phone lines are officially open. 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. We're just getting started. We see you on the phone lines. We got to get to a break. When we continue, we'll break down the Golden State Warriors without Steph Curry as they take on the San Antonio Spurs tonight alongside Sterling Bennett. This is Dan Devone. Just getting started. Back with your calls and much more right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
I like that. A little hard rock to get us going early on a Saturday. Not hard rock, but no, a little...
This is hard rock. Some new metal. Some Rage Against the Machine.
Bulls
this
on
is...
Parade, baby. Oh, I played that for Sterling and his Bulls. Wow.
You can't say the lyrics, though, because they're a little dicey nowadays, but...
Welcome back to Warriors This Week. Alongside Sterling Bennett, it is Dan Devone and our man Ken, who's hitting his head up against the glass, listening to some strong tunings.
He's headbanging no back doubt. There.
So the Golden State Warriors losers to the Chicago Bulls last time out. Now get ready for the San Antonio Spurs. Once again, all the action can be heard right here on 95.7 The Game. It is a home and home. So just what the doctor ordered. You have no Steph. You need to steal a couple of games while he's on the mend. Well, thank you, San Antonio. Although, if we learn anything against Chicago, is that you can't look past anybody, including the Bulls, without Wembanyama, as Golden State gets two against the San Antonio Spurs. They got help from nobody, and I mean 1-9 in the Western Conference. From the Thunder, the T-Wolves, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Suns, the Kings, the Mavericks, the Lakers, all in front of Golden State now, and all were winners in their last games. The Thunder with the longest winning streak at two games. So, you know, the thing is that if you're hoping that someone's going to fall back to you, I think that was sort of the thought process that Sacramento, are they for real? The New Orleans Pelicans, the wheel's going to start to come off. You know, are the Lakers really that team? You know, our team's going to start losing games and rashes and just sort of fall back into the Golden State Warriors. That hasn't been the case to date. And the Golden State Warriors, if they are indeed going to walk down the Pelicans and the Suns for that sixth seed or even improve to the eighth or seventh seed, they're going to have to win some games and do it on their own, as Golden State, once again, with a perfect opportunity coming up tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. All right, phone lines, as I mentioned, are officially open.
Let's
888-957-9570. We kick things off in San Jose. Just give me Austin, who wants to get into the conversation. Austin, how's the week, buddy? How are you?
What's up, fella? Good to talk to you, as always. And my young guy, Sterling, this weekend. I just want to calm down some of his exuberance about the Warriors, you know, and we always appreciate the young guys and their exuberance that the Warriors are going to beat everybody ahead of them, even though they really haven't demonstrated at home. They haven't really demonstrated they can actually take control of their home court. The other night was disappointing for a lot of reasons. They should have closed that game out with or without Steph. And really going forward, guys, I just want to say, yeah, the Steph injury is kind of a blessing, even though it's kind of a dark blessing, but we're going to have a chance to, and I said to the guys the other day, this is an audition for me, for the youngsters. I want to see if they can execute and close out games, and knowing the Steph won't be around to save them, I want to see what these guys can do, and not just the young guys. You know, the guys mentioned Clay, and Clay wanting to prove he can do it. We got all these other sideline with Wiggins and all these guys. Now it's time to see who should we be looking at for next year. To me, it's all about auditions for next year. As far as Kuminga, man, I love Kuminga. I've loved him from day one. But I'm not seeing him yet as a number two even yet. I don't think he's reached the point of being designated a number two. And Sterling was talking about number one. Do you realize how hard it is to be a number one in the NBA? That's a very difficult leap. So I think that Kuminga's on auditioning. Everyone else is auditioning for the next year. I think that's going to make it fun. And we'll see who gets contracted out next year. All right, guys, that's all I got. Thanks.
Austin, way to kick things off. Always strong with Austin leading things with what I think is really insightful knowledge, and that's just a really good way to look at things. When Steph is out, the only thing I would disagree, Austin, a little bit, it's not so much next year, but I would say and put it in the framework of this year. Like, with Steph out, all right, here's your opportunity, Moses Moody. You know, Trayce Jackson-Davis plays a different position, but everybody now moves up a spot right in the rotation. So exactly. Trayce Jackson-Davis, now you're going to get more run. Are you worthy of somebody that we can rely on in the playoffs and or towards the end of the season? Because I think these are still moving pieces, but I think that it's a great way to look at things, that this continues to be an opportunity for a lot of players who, again, sometimes the Warriors will go 12 deep, but now with Kevon Looney and Dario Saric sort of moved out of the rotation, and it's about time. It's still a bunch of young players that are still trying to prove to the coach, as well as to everybody else, that they're worthy of some significant minutes for the Warriors, especially in the most important part of the campaign.
And no one is saying that Kuminga is going to be a bona fide one against everybody. Kuminga has to be a one now without Steph. That can be a game. That can be two games. But I think, like you're saying, Dan, the young guys have to prove to Kerr that they can play in these pivotal moments, play in a playoff game. But I also think when you see these on that bench, Saric, Kevon Looney had his record snapped because the younger guys have proven to Steve Kerr as of recently that, hey, I deserve to play minutes over the vets that are proven in this league that have helped you win a title, like Kevon Looney. Now, Looney has struggled this year more than previous seasons, and I think TJD gives you something Looney won't. He's someone that can actually get a handful of blocks, is going to be healthy almost the entirety of the season. Looney, Iron Man, I get that, but TJD will give you a presence in the paint Kevon just won't. He'll be a rebounder, but TJD is a shot blocker, whereas Looney's a smaller center, right? But going back to Austin's point of, you know, let's not be too optimistic. You can beat San Antonio twice without Steph. I believe that. Some way, somehow, you can beat San Antonio twice. Dallas, much tougher game. If you don't have Steph, you can easily lose that one. But if you get Steph back against the Lakers, okay. Steph, fresh legs, should feel great, should find a shot again. If you can get 24 in that game, you should win that one against LA. Then you're at home against the Knicks, who are banged up right now. You have the Grizzlies, who... you're a far better team than Memphis. So I get you lost on it and MLK Day out there, but you should beat Memphis at home. Pacers are a good team, fast, young. You probably lose to them, but then you have the Timberwolves on the road with no Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, who you can play off the court and have done so year after year. Like the next handful of games, week and a half of games, you can win four or five of these ones and find yourself back in that 8-7 seed conversation again. So, no one's saying if there's no Steph, you're going to go far. But I do think over the next week and a half, you can survive. Maybe even improve your standings without Stephen Curry.
I think it'll be interesting to see, not the next two games against San Antonio, but really what I want to keep an eye on is that Dallas game in Dallas when you take on Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. And if you don't have Steph, is there any chance that you can stay in that game and steal one from the Mavericks? Because if you do, that really changes the complexion in terms of instilling a level of confidence that this team has not had, especially with this new core. That if you can prove to yourselves, as well as everybody else, that you can beat a team like that of Dallas that sits ahead of you in the seeding as you try and walk down that sixth seed, in Dallas against Luka Doncic and company, that goes a long, long way as far as this dispelling the whole idea that this is just a one-dimensional team, although it is. I would say the only other team that's comparable to the Golden State Warriors are the Denver Nuggets in terms of being centric around one player. When Nikola Jokic comes out of a game or misses a game, the Denver Nuggets are just clearly not the same team, and that's just simply because he's the best player in basketball.
Right.
The Celtics have won without Tatum. The Lakers won last night without LeBron James. There are teams you don't want to do it over a long period of time, but I think the Golden State Warriors need to prove that this isn't just all about Steph as it was a year ago. That, you know, that may be the case, but I think if somehow that they can instill a level of confidence and prove to everybody that there is definitely a youth movement, and it's legitimate, and we just beat Dallas at Dallas, that, I think, goes a long way in terms of making a serious run at whatever's going to happen to the postseason this year. Getting back to Trayce Jackson-Davis, and I got to work in Steve Kerr here. So Coach Kerr, after that big game of the four blocks and the big showing he had against the Milwaukee Bucks, talked about Trayce Jackson-Davis, how he now has to get time. He's got to get run.
Ready for the playoffs.
Right. I hate going after Kerr because Kerr's the man. And look, I don't want to be that bozo who's just, you know, bottom feeding and the coach sucks after a team loses. But I've maintained
the rotation.
I've maintained this all along. You wouldn't have to rush him to play these, you know, this last 19 games of the season to see whether he's ready and or to get him ready for the postseason, as you said, Coach, because you should have been playing him all along. I've said this going back a month and a half ago. Trayce Jackson-Davis needs run. Anybody could see that he could supplant both Kevon Looney and Dario Saric in the rotation over a month ago. Steve Kerr, if there's one fault, if there's one big giant wart on Steve Kerr this year as a head coach, he's just been really slow to the party as far as recognizing that these young players are legit.
One that goes back to Moses Moody as well, where Moses Moody wouldn't play games. In fact, Steve Kerr told him, hey, you're not playing tonight. Don't worry about it. Go out there, be the 13th man, the 12th guy on my bench, and just sit there and just relax. You're not playing at all tonight. Well, then there have been games during the year where they've needed Moses, and he's come off the bench. Always Ready Moses is his nickname, right? And I think, like you're saying, Kerr might have been slow to kind of get the young guys involved. And I get it, right? You have Looney, you have Saric, guys you're paying more money to or have a higher draft status. You want to get them involved. You had a vision as to how they fit in your system. Like, take Saric. He ain't playing no more for a good reason. He has shot himself off the court. But going into the year, Chris Paul, you got Saric, they have a great chemistry together. Let's have them be two guys off our bench to give us some important minutes, hopefully in bigger games in the season. But now you realize, hey, like, we have something here with Trayce Jackson-Davis. And so I do understand Kerr being slow to make that change, but now you want to talk about young guys needing to bring the energy. You got Gary Payton II, not a young guy when it comes to committing.
But plays like one.
But right. He can guard a center if he has to. A guy who will bring you instant energy off your bench. Trayce Jackson-Davis, Moody, Kuminga. If they can win the next two games against San Antonio and go win to Dallas, feel good about themselves headed into Dallas, going, okay, we just beat the Spurs. Not great teams, but we did it without Steph. It's like being a young person in the world. I did it without my parents. I did that all by myself. You start to believe in yourself again, or believe in yourself for the first time, that instills confidence. Chick Kuminga getting blocks or dunks, out there smiling, kind of flexing. I want to see that kind of JK. I want to see Moody, the Arkansas Moody, right? Where he's out there getting you 10 points a night, hitting a couple of threes, going, wow, he's a dog. If you can do that without Steph, believe in yourself without Steph, prove to Kerr that, hey, without our best player, We are playing within the system that you want us to play within, playing good, smart, clean, turnover-less basketball. That'll go a long way for how much Steve Kerr, how much rope he wants to give these young guys come playoff time.
Yeah, I think the Dallas Maverick game is really significant. That's the one I want to see. Do you get blown out because Steph isn't there and it's Dallas?
You might.
I mean, it's a possibility. Or is it a Warrior team that can be competitive without your best player?
What would you consider a success? Let's say they beat San Antonio twice without Steph. Go into Dallas, no Steph. Even if they lose, but it's close, it's tight, it's last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, it's down to the wire. Do you find that as a successful game against Dallas, even if you lose?
I'm one of those that I find it hard to find any level of success when you lose a basketball game. So a loss is a loss. But I hear what you're saying. I guess there's some feel good that you can take away from it. I think that, listen, if you're going to be close, then beat them. The question becomes just how apparent is it, and maybe San Antonio doesn't provide this for the Golden State Warriors, but just how apparent is it without Steph Curry that you're not a good basketball team, and or are you? And I think that measuring stick will come on Wednesday against the Dallas Mavericks, who, by the way, this was the hottest team in basketball, last week, and a good team, but a team that with Luka Doncic, and anytime you have Luka Doncic, who is, again, having another MVP type season. Did you see this? He's the first player in NBA history to have four consecutive triple doubles with 35 points or more.
Wow.
Nobody's ever done that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's in the middle of that right now. But here's the thing with Luka. He don't play defense, man.
No, he does not.
He don't like defense. And what they simply try and do, because they're not a good defensive team under Jason Kidd, is they'll try and outscore you. And I think that's what you have to consider when you take on someone like that of the Dallas Mavericks, which makes things that much more difficult. Because if you're going to get into a shootout with a team and the numbers get into the 120s or the 130s, well, winning a game like that without Steph Curry becomes really difficult.
You cannot go into a shootout against the Mavericks without Steph and expect to win. Unless Klay is dropping 33 and Kuminga is giving you 22. Like, you just can't. But I do think that it's almost a good thing Wemby's not playing tonight. It gives them that kind of free game to go out there and just win. The Spurs stink. They can beat you, maybe, but without Wemby, it gets a lot harder for them. You beat him tonight without Wemby. You beat him on Monday, hopefully, with Wembanyama. Then you get that confidence over more so into Dallas. And you say, hey, we're going into the Dallas Mavericks game. We ain't got Steph. I think that game becomes a massive matchup for Gary Payton II. Put him on Luka. Yeah, Luka's bigger, but I think GP2 can handle Luka, be physical with him. Yeah, Luka gets the kind of ticky-tack fouls and whatnot, but I do think that you want to frustrate him. He's always crying to refs. Always crying. It's a foul here, foul there. You want to frustrate him? You put Gary Payton II on him, I think we're going to be in for a good one on Wednesday against Dallas. I really do.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really shuts him down. I don't.
It's hard to. It's very hard to.
Yeah, I mean, he could. He can bother him to a certain degree. Yeah. You know what's interesting is when we talk about the younger players, there's one guy that we don't mention, which is sort of interesting because I think as of early as last year, if Steph was out of a game, if you were looking at the Warriors statistically, although he missed a good chunk of the season or 2 years ago, or really since his arrival. Andrew Wiggins has been sort of, the number two as far as giving you those sort of 18 to 20 points.
Right.
But he has fallen so far off the map here when it comes to the Golden State Warriors that while he's still starting, I guess I'm sort of curious, has Moses Moody sort of replaced him in a way? As not as a starter, but in terms of getting the more significant minutes, it was Moody that sort of leapfrogged him and was closing the game, and not Andrew Wiggins the other night against Chicago.
That's tough too because Wiggins missed some time. So how long will it take to kind of get those legs back under and find the shot again?
But how many times do we have to go through that scenario?
You are right. There's who knows exactly what's happening with him off the court. Hope everything's okay. But when it just comes to on the court, how much patience do you have? We know what Wiggins can be. We saw it a handful of years ago when this team won a title. He was important to winning a championship here in the Bay, but in the last couple years, off-the-court issues has affected him on the court where he's on, he's off. He's on, he's off. There's no consistency with him. If you ask me today, who gives me a more consistent output every single night, Moody or Wiggins, I would have to pick Moses Moody. I can rely on Moses Moody over Andrew Wiggins currently. Maybe in certain situations, no, but in clutch time, I have been able to the past couple games. I think when Wiggins is gone, he's starting in place of you, and he played well. Like, Moses Moody has been, and I think he always has been this way, I think he is one of the best plug-and-play players the Golden State Warriors have. Off the bench, he'll get you a good 6 points. Starting, he'll give you 10 points. He will give you everything he has for every minute he's on the court. Blocks, steals, alley-oop dunks. He can really do it all without being a star. He's someone you say, I want to have on my team. And for a roster now that doesn't have their best player and an inconsistent Wiggins, like, the Golden State Warriors have been arguably the most inconsistent team in the entire NBA, and they've just lost their most consistent player. To me, Moses Moody is one person I point to and say, hey, you can give me the most consistent minutes of this entire roster. I would like to see his role expanded, maybe even over Wiggins, even if Andrew's still on the court in some way.
Well, I wouldn't start him. And I guess the reason why I wouldn't start Moses Moody, because I think that what it is you just laid out is an apt description of him as a good role player.
Yeah.
Like, he is the like, usually, if you're going to win a title,
like a Shane Battier,
you have guys like that. Every team has their Alex Carusos, have their Drew Holidays. Although Drew Holiday is clearly a star, but there's those guys that are just, they do everything well. They play defense. They don't give up on any plays because it's just simply not in their DNA. He's a good, in a perfect team, he's a good seventh, eighth guy in the rotation. Maybe six as he continues to mature. But he is not someone I see, at least at this stage, as being a starter. So I have no issues with Andrew Wiggins. My problem with Wiggins is just like that of probably everybody else out there in Dub Nation, is it's so frustrating. I mean, when you think about the Warriors, it's sort of feast or famine. where you have these players that are clearly sort of now, they've peaked and are now beginning to descend down the mountain as far as their career is concerned because they're at that age where they're in their mid-30s. And then you have these raw kids who are just running around, just going nuts, hairs on fire, you know, just doing whatever. And the one guy is in the sweet spot because when you look for teams that are like in that sort of late 20s to mid-20s, yeah. That's when the Golden State Warriors were at their very best.
Yes.
Right? That's when you couldn't stop the Warriors because Steph, Clay, Draymond, all 26, 27, sort of in that range. You look at Denver. I mean, it's not by accident that you got Michael Porter Jr., Jokic, and Jamal Murray all in that 26 to 30 range.
Like, that's peak of their
sweet
career.
Spot.
Exactly.
Right. That's what you're looking for. And the Warriors right now, they're either too old or they're too young. And the one guy who's in that sweet spot is Andrew Wiggins, along with Looney. But Looney looks like, you know, he's Grady from Sanford and Son, and he's 147 years old. But you got Andrew Wiggins, who's 28, I want to say 29 now, maybe. He should be
probably
peak,
around there.
Peak guy. Like, he should be
able to bridge the gap in between the two groups.
But he's so damn frustrating. It's like, which Andrew Wiggins are we going to get tonight? Oh, he was really good. We're going to build off of that. Then he disappears. Not only physically, but he'll disappear on the court. Where you're like, really? You just played 12 minutes? I couldn't even tell.
There are games in a row. I didn't. The Bucks. I didn't know Wiggins played. Bulls? Wiggins played? I didn't know.
He was good against the Bulls.
He was, but like there are times even when he's good, you still don't notice him because he's not doing anything flashy. He's kind of a grinder. He's a grindy, kind of grimy player where he's not loud. He's not going to bring attention to himself, but without Steph, you really do need Wiggins to show up.
As he's done in the past. That now becomes the big question. 888-957-9570. We'll put this out there to Dub Nation and to all of you listening this week and Warriors this week. Who is it that now steps to the forefront, grabs the reins, and becomes the number one, so to speak, for the Golden State Warriors? Or is it more of a collective? Is it Clay giving you 16 to 18 points? Jonathan Kuminga at 18 to 20. You know, here comes Chris Paul giving you big numbers shooting threes. Who are the players? Is Trayce Jackson-Davis going to come out of nowhere and give you some points as well as the good defense? What is it that the Warriors will do as far as replacing the nearly 27 points a game that obviously Steph Curry provides this basketball team, but now with his absence, I think becomes the big question. You seem to think it's going to be Jonathan Kuminga. I think Jonathan Kuminga is certainly, you know, he could be that guy, but Kuminga is also at a stage where, you know, he's played well, but not that he disappears, but the consistency hasn't been there over the last couple of weeks. And while I love Jonathan Kuminga, putting him as that guy, I don't know that that's necessarily the recipe. I think it has to be more of something where it's 1 through 6. And it's one of those where you look at the box score and, wow, the Golden State Warriors winners today is they had
six guys in double digits,
which they've been able to do in the past.
I do think Kuminga maybe doesn't need to be the one, but I think he's the most capable of being the one of the guys you currently have on your roster.
And he does it a different way. Obviously,
he's been shooting more threes, though, which I don't like, but he's been shooting them.
Yeah, and the thing with that is that it's so tempting because they're letting him shoot it. And if he begins to, you don't want him to do it.
But if he hits a couple.
If he begins, because I don't know that, you know, it's way too early in the guy's career. He's 21 years of age.
Yes.
And the guy is in his third season. To say that he can't shoot threes.
Right.
It's like you're not. No, that's not the case. You know,
Kawhi was a defensive only player until year 3 or 4.
If he starts shooting threes and now you got to go out on him.
Yeah.
Like that opens up a whole nother planet for this guy. All right. We'll continue to talk about Jonathan Kuminga. Who do you think replaces Steph Curry and gives the Warriors big numbers as now number 30 will be down for at least the next couple of days? All right, we'll continue here on 95.7 The Game. It's Sterling Bennett and it's Dan Avone back with more on Warriors This Week right after this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.